Stephen King says that The Plot is one of the best novels he's ever read about writers and writing. He also boasts that it's insanely readable. Jean Hanff Korelitz is the author of The Plot. It's her seventh novel. Jean's previous novel was adapted into the HBO series The Undoing. It starred Nicole Kidman, Hugh Grant, and my fellow Canadian Donald Sutherland. The Plot is on the same trajectory. It's a thriller topping almost everyone's must-read lists. It features a down-and-out writer turned professor who steals an idea from one of his most hated students. Jean says she was so delighted to hear Stephen King add The Plot to the list of great stories about writers and writing.
I read any and all novels about writing. We're such a navel-gazing people. You know, we always want to know if we're an aberration or if other people are experiencing the horror that we experience when we attempt to do what we do. But I think the real secret anxiety of the author and is that we ourselves are plagiarizing without knowing it, because we are readers. All writers are readers, or I should say all good writers are readers. And we've been doing it back to the cradle, or, you know, as near enough. All of that language is jumbling around like a big, you know, drying machine or a cement mixer. It's all in our heads. What we read this morning and what we read under the covers with the flashlight at camp, it's all mixed up together. And sometimes when we write ourselves, that stuff just comes out and we don't know always where it came from. And there's a terrible fear that we are ripping somebody off, you know, that we didn't write that sentence, that we didn't come up with that idea, that character that we're writing sounds awfully familiar, if only we could remember where we thought about that kind of a person before. And so there's this understanding that we are, you know, sitting on the shoulders of everyone who came before us, and that's not a bad thing, but also that we may inadvertently be copying somebody's language, and that is a really terrifying thing. So that when you know, whenever we publish a book or put our language out into the world, somebody somewhere is going to read it and say, "I wrote that," or "You didn't write that." And it's so funny and kind of meta, but I've actually been keeping a list of some of the things that people have accused me of stealing the plot from.
Oh, really?
You know, movies, TV shows, other novels. A lot of them I've never even heard of, so I feel like pretty much in the clear. But others, you know, there definitely are elements that I've come across before. I certainly did not invent the character of a writer who is afraid that he has stolen from somebody else.
And I suppose then we now have to ask this question. How did you come up with the idea for The Plot?
The Plot is my seventh novel. And I mean, everyone has been different, but only once before have I had this experience where an idea from one second to the next, you know, went from not being there to being there. The previous time that this happened to me was with my novel, You Should Have Known, which was adapted as The Undoing. That idea came out of nowhere, and this idea came out of nowhere. But the context is slightly more convoluted in that I was in the middle of another novel, a very different novel that was not working. And I was struggling with this book, and I was literally in the middle of a meeting with my editor, at which she was explaining to me why she was not buying the book. And I said to her, I said this, and I heard myself say it, and I thought to myself, I cannot believe I'm saying this. But I said to her, well, I have this other idea too. And I just kind of upchucked this whole story about a writer who has a student who has this brilliant idea, and then he dies without writing his book. And the writer takes his idea and writes a hugely successful book, but he can't enjoy it because he's afraid that somebody will accuse him of having taken it. I mean, he doesn't copy any language, but he does take the idea. Well, then I told her what this plot was, and that's when her jaw kind of hit the floor. And I really don't know where it came from. I mean, I've written novels that literally took 20 years of thinking about before I wrote the first word, but not this time. It was just there.
Yeah. Can you tell us a bit about your protagonist, Jacob Finch Bonner?
Jake is all of us. He is a failed writer. And for people who never heard of me until Nicole Kidman was on their TV screens last fall, and assume that I've always been this wildly successful novelist, you know, I've been asked, well, what do you know about being a failed writer? And the answer is plenty, because, you know, it's been a very long slog. But certainly all of the writers that I know, and I should say particularly the women, we all carry Jake around with us. He's ever present, and he's our kind of nightmare of failure.
Mm. Yeah, and Jake is teaching creative writing at this third-rate MFA program at Ripley College in northern Vermont. And then one day, this student named Evan Parker walks into Jake's class. Can you tell us about Evan?
Evan is, I mean, I've never taught creative writing except once in an extension course at the University of Massachusetts. But even in that one experience, and I think I had four students, one of them was this guy who just glared at me through the whole class and with this expression of, who the hell do you think you are? And, you know, I have now confirmed that that guy is in every single creative writing class. And that is Evan. He thinks he knows everything. He doesn't need to be there. He doesn't have any time for his classmates. He has no respect for his teacher. And why is this guy who's never published a word so arrogant? It's because he has this plot that he describes as a sure thing. Nobody can teach him anything. He doesn't need anybody. So he's a real jerk. And Jake knows he's a jerk, but he's curious. He certainly would like to know what this great plot is.
Yeah. And Evan is so cocky and arrogant that he's already picked out what his pen name is going to be when his best-selling novel is published. Right. What is it?
His real name is Evan Parker, but he's going to be Parker Evan when his massive bestseller is published for privacy. And Jake just wants to say, you know, hey, for the rest of us, the privacy is usually thunderous.
Mm. Since the plot is your seventh novel, I'm guessing that you have no plans to adopt Corlett's Jean Hanf as your pen name.
No, I'm not. I think I'm pretty stuck with my name as it is.
Oh, yeah.
I'm happy with my Hanf, because I had a distant relative named Helene Hanf, who wrote 84 Charing Cross Road. And that's an important book for those of us who love books. So, I mean, my middle name. It has been since birth, but I was quite embarrassed about it when I was in high school. Everybody had middle names like Cindy and Lisa and Susan, and I had Hanf. But I'm happy now.
Right. And, well, you should be. And Parker Evan, I loved how you, well, see, I'm using his pseudonym already, but I loved how for a while in the book there you would go Evan Parker / Parker Evan. What does Evan Parker tell Jake about the plot of his novel?
Well, he only shows us a few pages of text. It's part of his application material or part of what he submits for the class. So Jake only sees a few pages of text, and he doesn't keep those pages. So when he does begin to write his book, he's not copying anything. And he actually, you know, because he's a pretty honorable guy, well, that's debatable, goes out of his way not to replicate anything that he can remember. He's really writing an entire novel from his own imagination, but it follows the story. And we don't reveal a lot of the story at the outset, there's not, you know, we're only going to gradually have this plot revealed to us, but it does involve a mother and daughter who do not get along very well and live in a rural area. I think, you know what, that's really all I can say about it.
Yes, we don't want any spoilers. Yes, we want this to be a spoiler-free interview. We don't want to ruin it for people who haven't read it yet. So a few years go by, and Jake is waiting for the publication of Evan Parker's debut novel. What happens next?
Well, Jake has slid even farther down the food chain. He is not even living in New York anymore. He's been forced to leave New York. The MFA program has closed. He's sort of cobbled together a career as a literary coach, and he's working at a writer-subsidized artist colony. He's really just clinging to the fringes of his former life. And one day he thinks, you know, why did I never hear about that novel? And he Googles his former student, Evan Parker, and he quickly discovers that Evan Parker has died, and not even recently. He's died not long after their encounter at the MFA program. In other words, there's no novel. There's certainly not a finished novel. He has no way of knowing how much of the novel Evan Parker managed to write before he died, but there is no novel. So he writes the book. He writes his own novel with this story, and it's called Crib, which, as you know, has two meanings. It's where you put your child, but it also means to steal.
Mm-hmm.
And he writes Crib, and Crib becomes everything that Evan Parker said it would be, a massive, massive bestseller.
Mm-hmm. 2 million copies in 9 months, and Steven Spielberg buys the film rights. That's good.
Yeah,
was the success that Jake experienced from Crib based on your past experience with your own bestsellers and adaptations?
What happens with Crib is like nothing that has ever happened to me. I mean, I've had a wonderful, wonderful publishing experience with the plot. It's certainly been my most successful book. But, you know, there were times when I was writing the book when I thought, am I making this too successful? At one point, I have him in a theater with 2,400 seats, and I said to myself, you know, is this a little too much? Am I just throwing my fantasies now at Jake's experience? And then I would remember Gone Girl, you know, mm-hmm. Gillian Flynn at the height of Gone Girl would absolutely have filled a theater with 2,400 people. David Sedaris still does. So it's very rare, but it does happen. It has never happened to me. Nothing like what happens to Jake.
Still could, though. There's still time.
Well, as we used to say in the shtetl, from your mouth to God's ears. But I would not say no if it happened. I would be very thrilled.
Yeah. I loved that you included excerpts from the novel within the novel, Crib, that Jake, quote unquote, wrote. It seems to me that you try to write these excerpts in a different style from your usual writing style in the rest of the book. Would that be fair to say?
Absolutely. In fact, when I first turned in the novel, none of those excerpts were there. And that is because while I was writing the book, and I wrote the book entirely during the pandemic last spring, I happened to hear a podcast with the novelist Lily King, who had also just published a novel about a novelist. And the interviewer said to her, well, you know, did you consider giving us a little taste of the novel that this character is writing? And she said, no, I thought about it, but I decided that nothing I could write would be good enough to justify how well this fictional novel does. And I thought, great, if Lily King's not writing hers, I don't have to write mine. And I said to my editor, you know, when she said, where are the chapters of the novel? I said, well, Lily King's not writing hers. I don't have to write mine. And she said, no, you have to write yours. So then I had to go back and, I mean, I knew what Crib was about. I knew what happens in Crib that makes it so incendiary. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It was like having to write a whole second novel. New characters, mm-hmm. new places, new everything. Mm-hmm. So I wrote all of those chapters afterwards, and then I kind of filleted them into the book.
Filleted them. I like that. Great use.
Well, I mean, because every one of those excerpts is a clue. I mean, as we read more of the Crib, we understand more and more what is happening to Jake.
Has Steven Spielberg optioned the plot yet?
No, it has been optioned for television. Sadly, I cannot say anything about it because it has not been announced yet. I wish it could.
If you don't mind me asking, and you probably can't reveal this, but are you going to be involved in the adaptation in terms of writing the script?
Actually, I can say. That's probably the only thing I can say. It was something I really, really wanted. I've never done that before. I always want to learn. I mean, learning new things is the most important thing that I can do. And I said to the producer, I want to be part of the writing team. And they said, yes, so I will be part of the writing team. But, you know, on one hand, I'll be the expert in the room. But on the other hand, I'm going to be like the intern. I mean, because I've never done this before.
Yeah, but that'll be good. As you say, that'll be good. It'll be a good challenge to learn new things. That's important.
Absolutely.
For writing. Yeah. Jean Hanf Korlitz, thank you very much. It was so great to talk to you. And congratulations again on the plot.
Thank you, Doug. I appreciate your inviting me.
Jean Hanf Korlitz is the author of the insanely readable novel, The Plot. You can find out more about Jean and The Plot, but not everything, at wpr.org/beta.
And And so with things that are sensitive and things that, you know, people have the potential of getting kind of up in their hackles about, you just have to really delicately ease someone into it.
Comedian Maggie May joins us in just a moment. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.